What's going on, everybody? This is episode 20 of the Microsoft Recap. How you doing out there? Hope y'all are in good health and maintaining, surviving, thriving. This is your host, Mike Baker, and I got my host, co-host with me, Mike Bennett, on the line. What's going on, bro? How you feeling?
I'm chilling over here, man. Just cheesing, man. I'm still off the high, man. We just had that crazy show with the week tech, man. So I'm pretty much stuff, but I'm feeling good, man. I mean, the weekend is going pretty good. It ain't been raining crazy down here, you know, down here in Atlanta. I don't know what it's been like in Baltimore, man, but it seemed like every day it's like a rainstorm every single day. So it's like today ain't raining as much. Probably, you know, we hit the park a little bit, man, but feeling good.
Yeah. It's good to get out and go around the park every once in a while, man. It's just nice getting close to nature during these times. Yeah, man, I'm in a new dig, so it might be a little bit of an echo here, but I'm trying to adjust and figure it out. But today we got a couple topics for you from Microsoft, mostly around their Azure cloud platform. The first topic that we got, we're going to be talking about is cloud revenue and how Microsoft is now bigger than Amazon plus Google together. If Amazon and Google were combined, when it comes to the revenue, Microsoft is bigger than both of those and two times the size of IBM's cloud. The second topic that we got that we're going to talk about is about Microsoft Edge, which is that Microsoft's can't uninstall Edge support page is hilariously telling. Basically, I guess there's a page out there, there's a website out there that's letting people know that, yeah, you can't uninstall Microsoft Edge once you get it on there. So that's just what it is. But we will go into that a little bit more. And the last topic that we got is about Universal, the company, like the movie production film company. Universal is going to be shifting to Microsoft's Azure cloud platform for live action and animation production, which is just more telling about how Microsoft Azure is becoming that top company. But first, we're going to go ahead and talk about this article that we have up top. It's from cloudwars.co. There's a pretty in-depth article about there, about the revenue shares and how Azure is doing compared to AWS, Amazon AWS and Google Cloud Platform, which they call GCP. And just talking about the popularity of Microsoft when it comes to the cloud and when it comes to like enterprise platforms. And I mean, I guess this is kind of telling to me, man. I kind of seen this kind of being a thing for Microsoft, that like once they actually got into the cloud space, that they was gonna like, whether they would dominate or not, that was kind of unsure, but they was definitely going to be like a heavy hitter, because a lot of enterprise platforms are using Microsoft software anyway. Like when it comes to all the legacy stuff, they've been running cloud servers for years. So like Microsoft Windows 2, like I started using Microsoft Server 2003, back in 2003, and then they had 2008, 2012, 2016. So like they've been running servers for years. So for them to jump into the cloud space where they basically just running the machines as well. So like it's still their software. They just also have the machines. It was kind of a natural evolution for them to take over. And, you know, anybody that already had licenses to that older software, when it's time to renew those licenses, they were just going to move over to the new Azure. Yeah, I mean, it just made perfect sense. I don't know about, I mean, when it comes to like newer tech and stuff like that, and I know Google still has their space, and I know a lot of people, you know, at Amazon, AWS is like, has always been considered the leading platform for the most part. But Microsoft is easily creeping up there. And like I said, most of that does come from those renewal periods. When them licenses expire, it's just an easy transition. I'm going to stay with the same company that I've been with for like however many 20 years or so. Yeah. There's no point for me to switch over. I just need to use their newer technology. What do you think about this, Mike?
Yeah, as far as the revenue goes, I mean, this comes with the business tactic of, you know, that's what the trial is for. You feel me? You get to get the 7 day, 14 day, or whatever the trial is. And, you know, people use that to a point where they become acclimated with it and they use it. Now they got to pay, you know, what was it for Microsoft Office in the year? What was it, like $100, somewhere $200?
Yeah, when it comes to their cloud, I think they give like $200, $300 in general. Like, because with most cloud stuff, because it is in the cloud, it takes a while to be able to ever test it. So they just give you, like, because, you know, when you start using the cloud, they automatically start billing you. So they give in, like, their version of a free trial is that they just give you like $200, $300 where you can just test the platform out. And if you don't go over that, like, they got free tier stuff where you can test stuff. But if you don't go over that, then you basically can just renew that $300 every year and just basically have stuff for free. But if you start using it, then yeah, you gotta start paying out the pocket.
Yeah, but I was getting at is that how they're able to, you know, get to the bank like this. Is this from using good business tactics? And I had to slow down and read this carefully because it gives a lot of just the title alone. It would make it sound as if that Microsoft has covered more ground with their cloud services. I think that with Amazon and Google, like with a lot of other ones out there, they still are heavy in the game as far as the active users. This is just alluding to that Microsoft knows how to make money off the cloud better than these other companies do. And I think that's just, I have to, from a hustler standpoint, you know, I think it's a part of the game. You know, I think what Microsoft is good at is they're good at looking at outside of social media. They look at it, they know to like look at a certain industry of what's actually hot and know how to capitalize on that and make it where it's you know, they're able to make money off of it. And again, I want to stress that it's a difference between the active users, how many people are actually like actively using the services, and then how much you're actually getting paid for it, right? And I think that just some of the numbers they threw out here, how it was like I think they added within just in the last quarter, like $14.3 billion. They just know how to, I honestly think they just know how to nickel and dime better than these other companies do when it comes to the cloud. Because I completely forgot that a lot of these services they provide, like you said, with Windows Server, right? Because that's one. Then, of course, they have Azure. I don't like saying Azure. That just doesn't, you know, feels funny on my tongue. And they have Azure, and then they have a couple other ones. They have GitHub as well. I completely forgot that they acquired GitHub, and GitHub is one of the it's open source, but then of course they make money with providing more higher tier services that typically are. It don't seem as if it's a lot of money to pay for. You know, like say for a year's time, you know, somebody that wants to develop games and some shit like that, they got to just pay $40 for a year. I don't know what the subscription is, but just hypotheticals here. But I mean, that's $40. But GitHub has had, I forgot how many active users, but it was already a $1 billion company and they acquired them. So again, I look at it at this as just excellent business practices. And what's good to note about this is, of course, with more money, you're able to accelerate your growth. So by Microsoft playing the nickel and dime game, what they've done is they found a way to make more money off the cloud than Amazon and Google combined. And what that does is it positions them where if they wanted to invest it into marketing or maybe even provide some type of higher tier services, where even if you look at all of their cloud service platforms right now, that the services they provide, if they just raise up the dollar one or maybe provide a higher tier service, they can continue to grow in revenue, and that will eventually grow into more mass, more users. So I think it's just a solid move.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right about that whole nickel down concept, because when you move to the cloud, the whole premise is that you don't have to pay for that heavy upfront cost. Like, where if you had to buy like 10 servers, like what they call on-prem servers, you would have to pay, like, if each one costs like $5,000 and you got 10 of them, you got like $50,000 worth of machines that you buy up front before you even get a chance to use them or anything. Whereas here in the cloud, you can get those 10 servers up and running, and then by the end of the year or something, it may acquire to be up to about $50,000 worth of usage. But it's a lot easier to deal with that type of billing where you have to get to that point versus upfront cost of $50,000. And like, with that, if you don't have to pay that upfront cost, then the licensing that Google, Microsoft does with their servers, like if you need Microsoft Server 2020 or whatever they're going to call it, or, you know, Active Directory system that they use, like they have licensing for that stuff as well, because they base their licenses on the number of users that are accessing it and stuff like that. They found a way to get rid of that upfront cost and be able to turn that upfront cost around to the licensing part of it, so that it doesn't seem like you're spending as much, but ultimately in the long run, you do still potentially spend more, but it's a lot easier to manage. And yeah, that, I mean, that dealing with things like that, because they also own that software. Cause like when it comes to AWS and Google Cloud and stuff like that, most of them are using Linux stuff. They're using open source software. So they're not really paying licensing costs. They may pay for like support service and stuff like that, but they won't pay for a licensing straight up. So it don't really cost that much to get things started in AWS or in Google Cloud versus with Microsoft. Like I said, you have those licenses. If you want to use a Microsoft database, Microsoft SQL, any of those packages, for the most part, you're going to probably pay a license as well as whatever servers you actually need to run that through Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So they know how to do that billing game. And like I said, they have all the connections because they've been in enterprise since the 90s. Yeah. So they know everybody that is in the major business. And when it comes to enterprise moving their stuff to the cloud, I mean, Microsoft is ready for them. There's no need to look for figuring out how to use AWS or figuring out how to use Google. You just have Microsoft already. So just continue using Microsoft. So it's good for them because it allows them to move their people over. For the new people that come in, it's a hard decision to make, saying like whether I want to start using Microsoft software or using AWS or whatever else. But like for people that have already been in the Microsoft world, then this is their step into the cloud, and it's a easy transition. You don't have to figure anything else out.
Yeah. I think that, you know, as a means to be able to, I guess, create more mass, they, just looking at the whole thing, Microsoft being excellent at the enterprising platform, I look at this as a way for them to basically branch out, because I think that's where Microsoft is heading. I know it's probably doesn't hit too hard on the article, but we know from other things we've talked about that Microsoft is definitely showing more interest in becoming more consumer centric, right? With more commercially consumer centric. I think that's the word. I'm making up terms here, but pretty much for people that use social media and shit like that, they are focusing on that. So you get enough money where you can move that around and stuff, they actually can make some moves. And I think that where Microsoft, what the edge that they have when it comes to these things is that they don't really rely heavy on open source stuff. Now they'll use other people's open source stuff to create things, you know, the new Microsoft Edge. But when it comes to services they provide, they typically charge. And what's interesting about that is this is just my experience. I think other people that's more techie could probably speak to this as well. But be it that Microsoft, you have to pay for their stuff and they're able to fund like a lot of their support services, it's typically much easier to adapt to them rather than like if you just were to give me something that's open source, I can do whatever I want with it. Although there's a lot of things that can be plugged into that tool, you're kind of just out there on a whim just figuring things out on your own. So that comfortability, I think that Microsoft provides with their cloud service, just with their business model, by investing in support services, is definitely what makes them like solid in the game. And I think it's helped them get to this point. So
That's the reason why Microsoft, that IBM bought Red Hat, because what Red Hat basically is a support service. Linux is a free version of Linux. Linux is free, but it's hard to use Linux and it doesn't have any support platform. So Red Hat is essentially a support service for a version of Linux that they took. They have a copy of Linux that they created and they modified it a bit, called it Red Hat Linux, and created a support service for it. And that's basically the part that makes Red Hat the number one Linux platform. Whereas, you know, you can go to Ubuntu and all these others, but you don't have any support. You basically are on your own. So if you feel like going that route and doing everything on your own and trying to figure it out through the forums and documentation and stuff like that, then you got the Linux route. But if you actually want people there to help you and guide you through how to get this stuff done so you can be more productive and efficient, then you need a support service. And Microsoft is probably the number one when it comes to that in general. next topic that we have is about Microsoft and how you can't uninstall the Microsoft Edge browser.
Time to get into the funny stuff.
Yeah. In particular about how the support page is a support page about how you can't uninstall it, whereas like they don't never tell you. It's sort of like you just have to find this page. Like everybody, basically what this article is talking about is how the people that have been wanting to uninstall Edge are having to Google it and say, how do you uninstall Microsoft Edge? And they end up getting to this Microsoft page that tells them, that, unfortunately, you can't uninstall Microsoft Edge.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I mean, it's this whole big thing because, like, you know, people felt like Edge was this independent browser, like all these, like, you know, when you get Firefox, it's your own application and you can uninstall Firefox. When you get Chrome, it's its own application.
Yeah.
And you can uninstall Chrome. But because you have Windows and Microsoft makes Windows and they also make Edge, it's a different ideology. They're they're integrating that into Windows 10. So it's a little bit more detailed, and because they're trying to get rid of it, Internet Explorer, because that thing has been basically on its last leg for like the past 10 years.
Yeah.
they are forcing people to stop using Internet Explorer, and they're making it so that the default platform, the default browser on Windows is just going to be Microsoft Edge. What do you think about that, man?
I think it's just the way that it's the natural progression of things. It's like what is it on Apple? Oh my goodness, bring up Apple, right? On Apple, they have certain things where just how they do it is after a while, you won't be able to use certain things unless you update, right? That's how they do it.
Yeah.
I think it follows that same framework of like getting people to use the new system, is that by them making it where Microsoft Edge is impossible to install, it basically is integrated into your operating system now. For those who want to get rid of it, I mean, you just have to accept it as you know, it is what it is at this point. I think too, but by doing that, in some way, they put themselves back into the position of being viewed as like the Internet Explorer, because Internet Explorer, we know that that's just, when you think Microsoft and then you think, well, Windows, and then you think browser, you think Internet Explorer by default. So yeah, they have, you know, that's what it was for some time. We all know Internet Explorer was on its last limb for the past 15 years. I don't even know why it's still existing at this point. But I think although Microsoft Edge is a better experience, getting more people to use it, because you always want more use of, you know, like more usage out of, you know, whatever it is you create. I would hope that's what they're doing. They're not just doing this for the sake of, but if they want to get more usage out of it, making it where they're forcing people to use it. Like, people desire to use things that they want rather than, like, you appreciate more the things you like, you want, rather than the things that you just have by default. If you see what I'm saying, I guess more on a psychological level, right? So the fact that, you know, you're able to, you know, like the Chrome and Firefox, their options, and they're very good options. This is what in my opinion makes it where they're used more often. Whereas if it was something where it just came by default and that you couldn't do anything about it, then it takes away from the luster of like getting something that's better, right? So in a way, I see why they're doing it, but I think too, there's a better way for them to, I guess, get people to use it rather than forcing it on them. You know, and I would hope that they don't try to pull nothing slick as I haven't really used Edge as much. It's funny, even when I use Edge, I still went to Google to search, right? But I know that is the default search engine for Edge, is it
it's Bing.
Bing? Oh, goodness.
You can import your settings from whatever you were using. So
yeah, that's you can do that. But
if you had Chrome, you can just import your settings and it'll switch to Google. Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
They try to push that Bing stuff, man.
that's the agenda all around. Like, I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy. Like, I get it. I get it all in general. Like, it's their browser. It's their OS. So if they're gonna have a default browser, it's gonna be the default browser. It has to be, because if there was an operating system that didn't come with any browser on there, then people would be complaining about they don't have no browser. So it's like, You can't even get to Microsoft Edge because you don't have, you can't even get Google Chrome because you don't have Microsoft Edge to get Google Chrome.
Like that whole chicken for the egg thing.
Like everybody uses Internet Explorer to go get Chrome. So like if there was no Internet Explorer on there in the first place, they wouldn't have any way to get the other thing. So like it makes sense. I guess you could go through an app store, a marketplace store, whatever they call the app store on Windows. I guess you could go through there. But then that even brings up another thing, like with iOS. Like iOS has Safari, and nobody ever complains about that being the default. Like everybody hates Safari. I hate Safari personally, but like that's the default. And no matter if you open links, I think they're starting to change that now with the new iOS 14 that's supposed to be coming out. But right now it's still like, if you open up a link, it defaults to Safari. And I have to tell Safari, no, give that link to Google Chrome.
I'd rather copy paste that.
Exactly. So like, I mean, it is what it is for them, but like, I don't know, man. Internet Explorer has so many security vulnerabilities anyway that it's been time that need to be shut down, and they got to take that approach out of Apple. Like Apple just tells people what they want, and they tell people what they need, and they just force things on people. So it's sort of like the same thing. They just gotta, and because people aren't going to just stop using Internet Explorer on their own, so they got to just tell people. They got to take it away from them, like kids. They got to just stop.
Like I was saying a little bit earlier, like a lot of the, be it we in tech, a lot of the places I've worked, they use Internet Explorer as the default browser to perform. Like whatever system application we're developing, it always seems like Internet Explorer is like the default, because some would say it's easier to use and all that. But then again, it poses a lot of vulnerability security issues. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I agree with you. I get it. I just think that the approach, for one, they shouldn't try to force people to use Bing. I hope they're not doing that.
Yeah,
that just needs to go away. But then, two, I think there's this is a better way for them to position it where there should be more of an incentive. They need to create either like a social incentive or something else for people to use it where it doesn't fall into that same category as something this is. This default that you kind of look beyond, because like you said, you get on Internet Explorer to download Google Chrome, right? But they, by them taking away Internet Explorer, just making it whereas this is Microsoft Edge now, I assume people would still go on to, because that behavior pattern hasn't really changed. They're going to still go on to Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and still probably be like, yeah, this is cool, but I still want to get Chrome. So, if they're looking to get more usage out of it, I think there's a different approach they need to take than just saying, people searching for, let me uninstall this, and then they saying, well, nah, you can't uninstall it on a page. So I just think that's funny how they pulled that off.
Yeah, for Microsoft people, if they live in that ecosystem, then they probably use it. But if you don't really, people that play the Xbox and use OneDrive and got the 360, Office 365, all of that, then yeah, it makes sense for you to stay in that in the Microsoft Edge ecosystem, because all of that will communicate with each other, and it'll make your experience a little bit better versus using Chrome, because that's separate from Microsoft. But if you're not using that, if you have your lifestyle is in another service, if it's in Apple iCloud or in Google or somewhere else, in Amazon, I guess, then your lifestyle, if your lifestyle is in those different places, then it's better to have them in those different places. But if it's in Microsoft, then yeah, you use Edge. Just don't use Internet Explorer. That's the main thing. Just don't stop using that. Type shit. Last article that we have is going to be about the universal shifting of Microsoft's Azure cloud It sounded like I was saying something else, like the universal shift. Universal, the movie company, they call it a Comcast company. Universal is shifting to Microsoft's Azure cloud platform for live action and animation production. Basically, this is one of the companies that is one of the reasons that Microsoft's is a trillion dollar company. And when it comes to their cloud, they're basically number one. It's because of deals like this. So basically, Yeah, Universal, and they have a whole bunch of, they're like a parent company to a lot of different companies, in particular DreamWorks Animation. That's one particular company that I notably mentioned, because they do you know, CG movies. So they do a lot of highly graphically intensive movies, and those movies need to be processed to be created. So in a world like that, where you have to use a lot of machines to create a movie like that, it makes a lot of sense for them to move things into Microsoft Azure. But they're basically moving their whole infrastructure there. I'm assuming that Universes is going to probably create like another store, if they already have one, some type of streaming service or another, and they're going to probably have that all hosted under Microsoft Azure as well. But that's the, like I said, the DreamWorks thing is probably the most important piece, because that's where they're going to be building their movies from now on, is in Microsoft Azure. What do you think about that?
I think that looking at where things are going within developing movies and, you know, media and stuff like that, cloud. So they talk about that in this article as well, that they say the guy, his name is something wise. Let me see. The CTO of Universal was saying that this was going to be happening anyway. It's just that because of Covidicus is speeding up. It only makes sense that that this is what needs to happen. And I think that also looking at this, right, like we were talking about at first, this just adds to, you know, all of what Microsoft has going on within the cloud, the money they're making, because now you're seeing that bigger companies like Universal, when it comes to movie development, they're having to use, you know, the cloud services. You can bet your bottom dollar that Microsoft is going to be making a pretty penny off of that. Mm-hmm. I just think that my opinion on if this is a good move or if this even makes sense, it does, because we're approaching a time where just creating a lot of movies, and when it comes to how to, I guess, productivity goes, there's very few options that companies like, and not only just Universal, but probably other movie development companies, media development companies, they don't really have too many options, because projects are becoming so much more robust and cumbersome that they need to have services like this in order to maximize how productive they are. Again, if it's something where, you know, like I said, they said that COVID has been the impetus of it. Yes and no. I can see where it may come from. It may have been like more like gas put on the fire, but the fire was already lit. You know, you look at certain, let's say for instance, with another Marvel movie that's coming out, right? And I know they're with like Marvel is Disney. I don't know how these things, or Universal, like, is Universal like separate from Disney? I know Disney owns a lot of things now. Like,
because Universal is part of Comcast and NBC.
Okay.
But I think they must have sold all their rights, because I know NBC had some ownership with Hulu, but Hulu has been bought by Disney. So yeah. I think they had to separate all this NBC stuff from Hulu.
Yeah.
So, and but I know Disney bought Fox. So it's a whole bunch of craziness. You know, it's layered.
It's the tech cold wars, like we said, bro. It's just the same thing. Well, and I guess it's more maybe because it's media, you could include that in tech, right? But you know, these companies are in bed with each other. They just don't want to say it. But mm-hmm. What I was getting at is, for example, if you have a project that's going where they need to use a location that's several different locations, like something somewhere in Dubai and then another place over here in America, having to travel back and forth, it delays the progression of like the project. You know, having to travel and then everybody like cohabitate, like being in the same working space. So, mm-hmm. My opinion on it is, I think it's a smart move. It's something that was going to happen anyway. It's just like now it's high time that it happens now, because if not, when it comes to them putting out content, Universal putting out projects, of course they still have to compete. And the more time they take to put out projects, the less money they make, the less pull they have on the marketplace. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They were going to, it was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, what when we were talking about earlier, like they, Microsoft has that position where they've already acquired a lot of a major customer base. So like for a company like Universal, you know, they have like 3,000 licenses to Microsoft Office already. So like when it came for them to decide whether they wanted to use Office 365, it was just like, well, we already bought all these licenses to Office. We might as well just use the cloud version, Office 365 in there. So, and when it comes to them making these movies, like, yeah, they used to buy all of these servers and they would stock them up in their own little data center, or they would partnership with a third party data center, something that wasn't a company that wasn't as known as Microsoft, but they were able to get them the machines that they needed to be able to do the work. But now with this whole COVID thing, you might as well just transition and go to a company that has enough of a license of liability, you know, those like service license agreements and all the insurance policies and NDAs for if your data gets lost and all of that stuff. Like they need to go to a company that they can trust, like a Microsoft. They need somebody that's just as big as they are in the movie space, in the tech space. So, I mean, it makes a perfect transition for them to join somebody like Microsoft. I wish that they probably went somewhere else, but really at the end of the day, the cloud is cloud. You can kind of make it whatever you want to make it. So it don't really matter whether they go to Microsoft or AWS or Google, but it's either here or there.
I was going to ask, like, who would you rather, like, so for some folks that don't know, even Netflix has, they offer cloud services, right? I know they don't, they're not really in the talks a lot of times, but I remember seeing that one of the projects I was working on. I'm like, I'd always see something go to like Netflix this, Netflix. I wasn't really versed in like what the cloud was at the time. I was just, you know, programming away. But now I'm like, remember, like, oh snap, they offer, you know, services as well. But like, who would you rather, who do you think would be a better fit? Because I think in this instance, yeah, Microsoft is able to make the money when it comes to like understanding how to service their client. They invest in money into that, but like I think Amazon, that AWS, they probably a little bit more versed when it comes to like the entertainment industry and it comes to cloud services. So who would you rather see Universal go with outside of Microsoft?
I don't know. I really couldn't say. I would like to say Google, but I mean, it doesn't really, like the way that most of these companies work, in particular with Google, like Google doesn't even work with just their own cloud. Like Google has a tool that they call Athlon that essentially allows you to have a omni cloud. So they have a platform, like even in GCP, even in Google Cloud, they have a tool called, it's actually called Anthos, but it allows you to take access to Microsoft Cloud, AWS Cloud, and Google Cloud. So like you literally can just use Anthos and not even care what cloud you in. And like you say, all right, I need a data center. I need a server that's here. Oh, that happens to be an AWS server. Okay, whatever. I need the compute resources from it. I don't care where it is. Like it could be a Microsoft server. I don't care. I just need the compute resources. And they probably charge you differently based on which one it is, but they really all the same because it's all competitive. They all trying to be competitive, but like it really, like the cloud itself is like, even though there's a layer of the cloud, there's basically another layer that just doesn't even care what platform you're on. It doesn't matter if you're using Azure. It doesn't matter if you're using AWS or GCP. It's just a matter of, do you have it all organized and sorted so people can access it as quickly as possible? So, I mean, it's what platform they're using. I really can't care. I'd rather it just be something that doesn't lock them into one platform at the end of the day. So hopefully their contracts don't lock them into Microsoft, whereas in 10 years, they make it so like the only way you can access a certain movie is through Microsoft's like Xbox or some shit.
That was
like, yeah. Like those are the only type of deals that I'm really cautious about. Like,
well, monopolizing as long as, deals.
yeah, exactly. Like they expand your horizon so you don't get locked in. That's the only thing I care about from a company like Universal. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. And like I said, Universal is Comcast, is NBC. So who's to say what's going to happen with them? They can potentially make their own cloud if they want to. But yeah, man, that's about it. Those are the topics for this week. If you like our show, go ahead and do that damn thing. Subscribe, like, share, comment. Particularly comment. I say comment all the time because I like to engage with you guys. I like to actually communicate, and I like to know what your feedback is. If you don't like something, or if you do like something, I gotta look at the camera. If you don't like something, or if you do like something, I gotta make that be known so that we can make it adjust accordingly. And if you got questions, let us know, and we'll talk about them when we actually come up on here. So we don't leave you guys hanging. But yeah, man, you can find us on all the resources, on all the social medias and all the podcasting services, whichever one is your favorite podcast, you can find us on there. So just look for us and you'll find us. And if you can't find us on one of those, just go to bohemia.media, not .com, just bohemia.media, and you'll find us there.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mike? Yeah, I got it.
You pretty much said everything, dude. Right? Look, if y'all know who we are, you know how to find us. Google us. I mean, you don't have to Bing us. You know, you can go to.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Microsoft Edge.
Even though it's the Microsoft show, you don't have to Microsoft. It's not obligated.
We here for y'all. We got some more stuff coming y'all way. Got some interviews we lining up where we're going to, you know, switch it up some and get a perspective of someone outside of us. I mean, I know we're brilliant, you know, y'all love us, but I think, you know, having a little bit more spice too, just a different type of show format will be good for you guys. And we're working on that. So, yeah, just stay tuned. We got more heat for the streets coming your way. And that's it.
Yeah, man. Y'all take it easy out there. Be safe. Stay away from Covidicus and stay away from coffee people.
Yeah. Y'all
peace
take it
out
easy.
There. Peace. Take it easy.